to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
I'll be the therapy that you need, baby, right here at home. Get lost in my body and pretend that nothing is wrong.
Quasi-cerebral talk and tunes. Broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories, this is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's your next hour of commentary and music.
But we just need one night off to apply that good pressure.
This episode of Typically Tuesdays contains discussions of violence, abuse, including physical, psychological, emotional, sexual abuse, and child sexual abuse, discussions of exploitation, medical amputation, and suicide. It contains allusions to physical disability caused by physical abuse and allusions to incest. It also contains heavy spoilers for Hanya Yanagihara's 2015 novel, A Little Life. If this sounds like something you don't want to listen to, feel free to skip this episode and join us again next week. Hi, my name is Leslie, and I read Banana Fish when I was 9.
Oh my god. Did you actually?
Yes, as we will find out soon.
Okay. I love Irish breakfast much more than English breakfast. My name is Jade.
What is the difference?
That's a really good question. I think Irish breakfast just comes with a more white pudding, which is I actually don't know what it is. I know that black pudding is black sausage, but white pudding I think it's just regular sausage. It's white. It's good. Tastes better.
Maybe it's all egg white.
It's definitely meat.
Oh, I mean, I looked it up and...
Is it actually blood? Don't tell me it's blood.
No, I don't think it's blood. I think, essentially it's just like a type of bratwurst.
Okay. I can live with that.
Finally, minced veal and back bacon stuffed into pork casings. So that's not, it's just meat.
It's baby cow.
Yeah, baby cow.
Okay. I can live with that, maybe. Ethically speaking.
What if it was like pork casing and just egg white? Like they poured a bunch of egg white in it.
I mean, that just sounds like a weird poached egg white situation.
Yeah.
I don't think that would taste very good. Do you think it would taste good?
Not at all. I don't really. I'm just raising the...
I mean, you're welcome to try it, but I don't know if I'll be such a fan of it.
Well, listen, if a listener of Typically Tuesdays would like to do it, they should, and then they should let us know about it. I personally will not, but I put it out there.
At that point, you just might as well make an egg white omelet with lard. Why would you go the extra mile and stuff pork casing with egg white? That's what I want to know.
Could happen. Have you had what is it called? It's like this Indian dessert, and it's like these round little balls that are like fried milk or something.
Yeah, gulab jamun. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Does that remind you of egg whites and pork casing?
I was just thinking, like, what kind of animal product is white that's not fat that could be turned into a sausage?
Not gulab jamun.
You don't think so? You don't think they can shape it kind of like into a sausage shape?
I mean, possibly it can shape into a sausage, but it's basically milk solid. It's like it's just dairy.
Yeah, but it's still, milk is white.
I feel like you're just describing like cheddar cheese. Like you want to stuff cheese into a sausage casing? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I guess so. Oh. Okay, today's discussion. We should hop right into it. We should skip any formalities.
Just take a really hard turn. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today, hey?
Oh, yeah. It will be an intense time. We're talking about A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara. It is an award-winning book, and one of us read it, and the other one has questions.
It's not going to read it.
Yeah, I'm not going to read it. But also, the person who read the book between the two of us probably has more questions than I do. So
probably, yeah.
That's
my main question is why? I think it's not so much that I have more questions. It's just my one question is so grand and big and all encapsulating.
A quality over quantity.
Yes.
No? Maybe could you like share like a brief summary about what A Little Life is about for the listener who is not familiar?
I really don't even know where to begin, honestly, Leslie. the best summary I can give is that it's a novel about really nothing. It's nothing and everything. It's about the lives of four friends, starting from their 20s as struggling young people living in New York. And the novel is something like 820 pages long. It spans multiple decades following their lives as they grow successful, and it examines their relationships, their histories, and their pasts. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, I think, that's a pretty strong, like, Wikipedia summary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my summary would be that it is, like, basically trauma porn. Bad stuff happen. You will be sad, or you might not be sad, but you will be shocked, possibly, and you might not like it. This is my review of A Little Life. And this is me being very generous.
Wow. I don't know what to say. I would like to hear, I guess, like your specifics on the plot, I guess. But I think in lieu of that, because you've just implied that it would not be very generous, I will I will note some things. So Yanagihara's book came out in 2015. It's won a number of awards, I believe. It's about like four friends in New York City and spans several decades. It's a super long book. And at one point it starts to begin honing focus on one of the characters named Jude. What's his last name?
Jude St. Xavier, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so he's one of those people.
you mean Catholics?
Yeah. And it begins to like hone in on Jude's life and examines in very excruciating detail the pain that he has suffered since childhood, all the things that he has experienced that have brought him an intense amount of grief and trauma. And most importantly, Jude basically never seeks help, support, or intervention for carrying the emotional weight of the violence and abuse that he has experienced. That takes a huge toll on him for most of his life. There are reported quote-unquote happy years in the book where he spends... He begins a relationship with one of the friends of his friend group. And those years pass by quite well until tragedy strikes. His partner dies in an accident. One of his other friends and his wife dies in the same accident. And Jude spirals until he finally commits suicide. So it's a... it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's very heavy.
I really think that's all I can say about it, is that it's a lot. When I was telling people that I was reading this book, I had a coworker who was like, okay, you must, like, after you finish, we have to talk about it. And she approached me when I finished the book and asked me what I thought about it. And I was just like, it's a lot. And she was like, yeah, it's a lot. And that's all really all I can say about it.
Retrospectively, so you finished the book a few weeks ago. How do you feel about it now?
I think I feel worse about it. Like every passing day, every passing day after I've read the book, I'm just like, I really don't like this book. I think the like first hour of me finishing like the epilogue, I was like, okay, this is a lot. I need to process it. And once I've actually processed it, I'm like, wow, this is more, this is more than a lot.
So maybe, okay. Okay, so what exactly about it don't you like?
You know, it's very complicated. It's one of those cases that it's not that it's a terribly written book. It's a very well-written book, and the author obviously is gifted at her craft. The fact that I was able to read this book in the span of a day really speaks to the way to the exceptional way that she can write about difficult subjects. But I think for me personally, I just really take umbrage with the way that she describes the subject matter. So it's not really... there's actually... I was talking with a friend about this, and there's a metaphor that they use in the book. Jude, the main character of the book, is a lawyer, and he also has a master's degree in mathematics, in pure mathematics and theory. And he talks about his love of mathematics with a colleague in the book, and he talks about this idea of a beautiful proof, a mathematical proof. And the beauty of the proof is not in the logic of the proof, because all proofs are logical. The beauty of the proof is in its expression. So in how succinct or concise the expression is. And for me, this book is exactly the opposite. I love the expression of the book. I love the way that it was written. I love actually reading. I love reading the words, but I hated the thesis of it. I hated the logic of it. To me, it seems like the logic of the book, and this is something actually Hanya Yanagihara actually did say in an interview, that she just wanted to write a book where the main character doesn't get better. Like, it just gets worse for him forevermore until he dies. And it just really that thesis really frustrated me. But the expression of it is quite beautiful. And then herein lies my gripe.
Okay. I'm going to quickly put a pin on that note by Yanagihara and ask, is there anything you liked about the book other than the writing?
I did like a lot of things about a book. It's again, it's the opposite of a gestalt. It's not that the sum of its parts is good, or it's not that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. It's that the parts sometimes is greater than the whole. It does a really good job at exploring different kinds of relationships. There are parts of the book where it's incredibly funny. It's very witty. It's a very clever book, and parts of it are very heartwarming. I would say a central theme of the book is its exploration of different kinds of relationships, especially relationships between men, in terms of not just erotic or romantic relationships, but also platonic, platonic loving relationships. And it does a very nuanced look into how these relationships span over multiple decades. So I think to that, the author does a really good job of portraying it. And that's what I liked about the book.
I see. Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to actually make a quick note of that because I know we're going to talk about something else in relation to relationships and genre, or relationships and trope. Okay, back to my pin then. Did Yanagihara expand any more on like the thesis of her book, like why she wanted to explore like a character who just is sad all the time?
I wouldn't be able to know. I didn't really read that much about sort of the development of the book. I haven't really read any interviews by her. The only things I know about the book are within the canon of the book and sort of snippets that I have since read, but I'm not sure. I think she just kind of, it just seemed like she wanted to write about it.
Okay. I think that's really interesting. As you've said earlier, I'm not going to read this book. After learning about the what goes on in it, it just does not. I think it is going to be a very beautiful time, but I don't know if I could like emotionally handle all that. But what something that I do know about Yanagihara is that she's published two other books that deal really intensely with the theme of male trauma, specifically with regards to male survivors of sexual violence. And I don't know, I guess I kind of find it kind of interesting as to, I don't know, I would like to personally know why that seems to be a reoccurring theme in her work. And in our past discussions, more like ribbing, whenever we talk about this book, that's something that has been mentioned, I think, like people are sometimes critical of Yanagihara because she seems to focus a lot on like male trauma, and especially like queer men's trauma. I don't know, having read the book, like what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I think it's very interesting. I don't know if I have any particular thoughts other than curiosity, the curiosity that you have described. I didn't know that this was a reoccurring theme in her book. So after, I remember having this discussion with you, after that discussion, it really made me very, very curious as to what about this theme in particular that really fascinated her. But on the other hand, this is not something that is uncommon. It's kind of a trope that you see a lot, not necessarily in informal fiction, where informal literature and published literature, but you see it a lot in different media types of predominantly female authors writing very deeply and excruciatingly about the trauma of men, especially the cases of very young men and boys. Perhaps we should talk about Banana Fish. The way that I thought about this book, while I was reading about this book, the one anchor I had in my mind is that it reminded me of fan fiction, which is a genre, a literary genre that predominantly is something done by women, by young women. And the subject of the fan fiction is usually young men. And there's a lot I can say about that, but you actually brought up that this is reminiscent of shoujo manga.
When I first like encountered discussions about this novel, it was a few years ago, but I was interested in trying to understand what was going on, why it was so beloved, and why there was a photo of a man crying on the cover. And why people liked that so much. And I read the Wikipedia summary, and the thing that kept coming up for me was that it reminded yeah it just reminded me a lot about shoujo manga, especially very early shoujo manga stuff made by who are known the group of shoujo manga artists who are known as the Year 24, authors who were born in, I believe, Showa 24. And a lot of the themes that they explore in their stories are about very traumatized youth and their relationships with other people. In particular, with its main character being a young queer guy, or I guess a queer guy. He is not young throughout the novel. He gets older.
Thank you for reminding us of the passage of time.
Yep, you're welcome. Happy to always. So it reminded me of this manga, A Poem of Wind and Wood by Keiko Takemiya. And it is it's like a psycho melodrama, like a psychological melodrama tragedy about this beautiful young man who's very self-destructive, who attracts like literally everyone who looks at him, and who has experienced like an incredible horrific world of exploitation and physical, emotional, and sexual abuse since his childhood. It focuses on him and the relationship that he begins to develop with the protagonist of the story. And at the very end of the series, this young man, he dies tragically. And then so that led me to think of a lot of other older shoujo manga focusing on queer people, in which the love interest is a beautiful young person, brilliant in everything that they do, has incredibly self-destructive behaviors, develops very intense, emotionally intimate bonds that turn into a romance with some other protagonist who die eventually tragically in the end. I think one other one in particular is a Yuri manga called Dear Brother. And then there are others like The Heart of Thomas by Moto Hagio. And of course, Banana Fish.
Banana fish.
Banana Fish. Except I will say, Jade, in Banana Fish, the tragic character is far more like interesting and dynamic than Jude or any of the other characters in those, any of the other tragic characters in those other shoujo manga. Because the one thing that separates Ash from Banana Fish, which is like a it's an action drama mafia story featuring two men who kind of fall in love with each other. And Ash is a very exploited dude who is trying to obtain this like ultra powerful drug or whatever, and who also experiences since childhood experiences constant abuse from his relatives and other older people in his life. Ash is a character who fights back. He is not completely kind of like disabled. Maybe disabled is not the right word, but the trauma does not turn him into a dysfunctional person.
It doesn't debilitate him.
Yes, it doesn't debilitate him. In fact, the thing that makes Ash interesting in Banana Fish, I think, is the fact that he has clear set goals. He has he sees a future for himself, kind of, even though he knows that future might be bleak or There will be things that, or the situation that he puts himself into, could risk. He could risk having his future taken away. But he's not a sad boy. He's not necessarily a super sad boy about it.
He's not a whoopee.
What is a whoopee?
That's a good question. What is the definition of a whoopee? I think it predates like AO3 fan fiction.
Oh, we're going into fanfiction.net.
We are going to fanfiction.net. A whoopee is a character that, this is according to tvtropes.com, which is a website of my youth. A whoopee is a name for any type of character who makes you feel extremely sorry for them. Basically, the first thing you think to say when you see a whoopee is, "Aw, poor baby." Whoopification of a character is a curious, audience-driven phenomenon, sometimes divorced from the character's canonical morality.
I see. Yeah, I
A story
see.
with a whoopee allows the audience to vicariously experience relief from some pain by fantasizing about relieving the whoopee's pain. Whoopification can also tie into a disturbing hurt slash comfort dynamic in which fans enjoy seeing the whoopee tortured so they can wish the hurt away.
Ooh, now we're
We're
segueing
getting
into
into fan fiction territory.
yeah. So when I read about A Little Life, it reminded me about shoujo manga, but that's because I hadn't ever read a lot of hurt comfort fan fiction. But
You make it seem like I read a lot of hurt comfort fan fiction.
well, I never really like
That's
even dipped my toe into it. So,
fair.
but you thought of hurt comfort fan fiction after you read.
Immediately after the first 100 page, and it seems like I wasn't the only one. I'm actually, I read a review of a stage adaptation of A Little Life, and this is a review from the New York Times, and someone left this in the comment of the review that I thought, I mean, I might as well just read it out loud because it's basically exactly what I think of the book. I don't know who this is. This is the person said their name is Danielle, so I'm gonna say this is Danielle from Queens, New York, left this comment. And this is in response to a lot of the critical reception of A Little Life, which in 2015, when it was published, was incredibly positively received by critics because it was kind of this groundbreakingly tragic and difficult story. And ever since, it's become a lot more polarizing. A lot of critics now are saying that it is, the term I use is trauma porn, but people thought it was, a lot of critics thought it was exploitative, it was melodramatic, events depicted in the book were gratuitous, etc. So this is in response to that. It's always odd to me when I see a critic trying to make sense of or find meaning in the quote-unquote unrelenting torment of A Little Life. I think they can't see that A Little Life clearly has its roots in a specific type of fan fiction. The star of this type of fanfic is called a whoopee, and Jude checks all the boxes on being a perfect whoopee. He's achingly beautiful. He's inexplicably magnetic. He's haunted by the dark secrets in his past. Most importantly, the whoopee endures unending physical, psychological, and almost always sexual torment. The only difference in A Little Life is that Jude is an original character and not, say, Draco Malfoy or Dean Winchester or any of the beautiful whoopees that have been eagerly abused by fanfic writers over the years. There is no deeper meaning to any of this, and fanfic readers don't expect one. They read these stories to revel in the pathos inspired by the melodramatic torment of a beautiful young man. I think it explains why A Little Life has been such a hit with teen girls and young women on BookTok and BookTube, which is TikTok and YouTube, who are steeped in fanfic culture and the style of writing. It's no surprise that those who aren't familiar with fanfic are astounded, revolted, or merely just confused by all this inexplicable agony. I have to agree with that. The one thing I have to add to this kind of fanfiction is that this works so well, like this specific type of melodrama and agony works so well in fanfiction.